This is 1988 Tops, where every card has a story to tell. Your hosts are David McKellis and Matt Kuzma. Let's play ball. Welcome back to 1988 Tops. David, what's our card for this week?
Our card this week is Lance McCullers, card number 197, pitcher for the San Diego Padres.
Okay, and why are we talking about Lance today?
We were running behind on Padres, so looking at the 1987 Padres team, trying to find somebody who might be interesting, and I thought, I know that name. Lance McCullers had a very good start to his career and then kind of disappeared, and now has been surpassed by a guy of the same name, his son, Lance McCullers Jr. Senior has no Sabre bio, but he does have a very well-researched Wikipedia article with a lot of citations. He also had a great nickname, the Baby Goose, and he also has a very interesting profession in retirement.
A well-researched Wikipedia article is always a great foundation for an episode. Let's go to the front of 197, and we see two players in view, primarily Lance McCullers in his windup, got the leg kick coming up pretty high, and he is ready to deliver as a right-handed pitcher. And then we see a shortstop, I think, just kind of loafing behind second base, not in the ready positions. This must be like a warm-up throw. This is not game action.
I think so, too. And the other thing about it is I think that that's Joey Cora, who was a second baseman. So he's both out of position and not ready to play.
Mm.
So if second Joey Cora sighting, go back to the Joey Cora episode for more information about him and his stab wound recovery. It's a very strange picture. These are also not my favorite Padres uniforms. I don't mind the brown, and I like that they have returned to it with the brown and yellow, but this was definitely a step back from the Taco Bell hat of the early 80s. So this is just kind of a boring, and then it has those kind of bubbly letters Padres on the front of it. I didn't love these, but Lance has got the high stirrups too, so that's a good look. Some brown shoes.
At the very least, the cameraman got good lighting on his face. I think did a good job of snapping the shot as he was looking very focused. Because of the position of the sun and of the very big brim of his hat, I feel like there was a real chance that he could have missed his face several times when taking these shots where the shadow would have obscured too much of his face. But as it is here, it's a very dramatic look on his face. I've zoomed into the Jumbotron all the way to 200%. And this look by Lance as he's focused on home plate looks really good.
There are other card pictures, one of which we will discuss later, his 1990 score card, where Lance is fully looking away from the batter as he is throwing, which is inadvisable.
That's bad for your accuracy. Let's go to the back of 197, and we have Lance McCullers, pitcher, 6'1", 218, right-handed thrower and switch-hitting batter, drafted by the Phillies in the second round of 1982, born March 8th, 1964, in Tampa, Florida, with a home in Lutz, Florida.
Lance's last name, according to Ancestry.com, is Scottish and Irish variant of Scottish McKellar with English excrescent S. I don't know what that means. I did not look that up. Any entomologists, either one, let me know what an excrescent S is. Lance was born in Tampa. Around Lance's birth, Tampa had boomed, more than doubling in size between 1950 and 1960, from 125,000 to 275,000, around 400,000 now, the third most populous city in Florida, and the 49th largest by population in the United States. Lance's dad, Lanny, played defensive tackle for the Florida Gators in the 1950s, and then in 1958, he bought a Christmas tree lot from an uncle. And that was his business. That was how he made his living. He expanded the business known as L&M Christmas Trees to the point that he sold around 12,000 trees each season from 22 different lots. They operated out of parking lots at local high schools. They also sold pumpkins around Halloween and fireworks in the summer. Lance initially went to Chamberlain High. Other alumni include Shock G of Digital Underground and model actress Lauren Hutton. But in the middle of high school, Lance transferred to Tampa Catholic. Alumni of Tampa Catholic include Seahawks legend, or at least in my mind because he had a couple good seasons on my fantasy team, Daryl Jackson, romance novelist Julie Leto, baseball players Denard Span, Carlos Reyes, Donnie Scott, John Tamargo, and my dad's very good friend, Joanna Garcia, who's an actress from Are You Afraid of the Dark, Reba, Gossip Girl, and many other shows, is also married to former MLB player Nick Swisher.
So this is a friend of your dad's?
One time, my dad told me that he met an actress while he was waiting for an airplane at O'Hare. And then he said, oh yeah, and she's married to Nick Swisher. I assume they're best friends. I think they send Christmas cards, basically best friends. They had a long conversation waiting for a flight. But at Tampa Catholic, Lance played football as an offensive lineman and a defensive tackle, looking to follow in his dad's footsteps. But during a football game, while setting up to block, Lance's arm got hit by an opponent's helmet. It took a couple weeks to heal, and in that time, he thought about his athletic future, and he said, I didn't want to take another chance. Besides, I never liked football that much. So instead, he decided to focus on baseball, and it turned out that the arm injury wasn't that serious. While at Tampa Catholic, he played on the same team as future major leaguers Rich Monteleone and Tino Martinez. Martinez would transfer after his sophomore season, so he didn't actually end up graduating from Tampa Catholic, but they did play on the same team in 1982 when the team won the state title, and McCullers afterwards was committed to play for the University of Miami.
And then on draft day, the Phillies selected Lance in the second round with the 41st pick in the draft, and he was sent to Helena for rookie ball in the Pioneer League, used as a starter in 13 games, a 6-4 record with a 3.72 ERA. Those are respectable numbers, nothing eye-popping, but 62 strikeouts in 87 innings, not bad. He was a hard thrower in the mid-90s and had a great slider. And the scouts were excited about him because of his size. He's built like a lineman. Teams felt like he could throw a lot of innings. He worked up to A-ball in 1983, still as a starting pitcher. 21 starts, went 9-6 with a 4.03 ERA, and had a couple shutouts, pitching pretty well. And then on September 20th, after the season was over, we have a this way to the clubhouse that Lance was traded by the Phillies to the Padres with Marty Decker, Ed Wojna, and Darren Burroughs on September 20th, 1983. The Phillies received Sixto Lezcano on August 31st, 1983, and Steve Fierovid, October 11th, 1983.
This is one of the more complicated trades that we've seen here. We have three different dates. We have five different players arriving at various points in 1983. The Phillies sent a bunch of players, four pitchers, to complete this trade for a guy in Sixto Lezcano who was part of trades for Raleigh Fingers, Ted Simmons, Pete Vukovic, and Ozzie Smith. And all in all, the Padres sent four pitchers for one season of Lezcano. Lezcano played well for the Phillies in the 1983 NLCS, hitting .308 with a home run, and he made four World Series appearances in a Phillies loss to the Orioles. McCullers was, in news reports, listed as kind of a also included. Marty Decker would end up playing four games for the Padres, mostly a AAA guy. Wojna was around San Diego for a few years, appeared in 27 games all in all over three seasons. Burroughs topped out at AAA. Fierovid went back the other way in October, so he joined the Phillies and he'd pitch five innings that season for the Phillies. So McCullers ends up having the longest impact on San Diego of any of those pitchers, and really the longest tenure of any of the guys involved in this trade. The Padres decided to keep Lance at A-level in Miami for the start of 1984. He's still only 20 years old, and he improved a lot. Splitting time between the starting rotation and the bullpen, 13 starts, 9 relief appearances, 6-4 with a 2.5 ERA, and he had a very good 1.288 whip. He struck out 94 in 106 innings, earned a call up to AA Beaumont, where he continued to impress. He's 4-1 with a 2.11 ERA, 3 complete games and 8 starts. He starts 1985 at AAA Las Vegas. Through 24 starts, his numbers are pretty good. He's 11-8, but has an ERA near 4. He's striking out nearly a batter per inning, but then in August, the Padres have an injury crisis. Rich Gossage, the Goose, goes down with a knee injury, and that required surgery, so he's out for a month. And the Padres decide to try McCullers in the Goose role, giving him multi-inning save opportunities and bringing him in to just shut things down.
Yeah, David, similarly to Miles Teller in Top Gun Maverick, Lance was playing in the goose role, and he responded great. His first appearance was against Cincinnati in a 2-0 game. He came on in the seventh inning, gave up one hit and no runs to earn a 2+ inning save. His next four appearances were 3 more saves and a hold, and more importantly, no runs allowed in 10 and a third innings. Manager Dick Williams said, "McCullers is picking up for Gossage. 5 appearances and 4 saves. I'll take that anytime."
Teammates and some fans started calling him what? I haven't seen this. What's that movie that you were talking about?
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick.
Find it on streaming now.
Find it at my local video store. Ken's World of Video probably has that. But the fans started calling him, I guess, what did they call Miles Teller, Baby Goose in that movie?
I'm sure that is correct, that Tom Cruise directly referred to him as Baby Goose.
So the fans and teammates started calling Lance McCullers Baby Goose, which I think is an adorable nickname. And when I first read it, I did not think about it as a reference to Goose Gossage. And I like looking at this guy, like he doesn't look like a goose. His neck is a normal length. I guess it's a reference to filling in for the goose. So he's still only 21 years old, the fifth youngest player in the National League that season. His first 8 games, 5 saves and a 1.53 ERA. Opponents hit only 158 off of him. So he was looking like the goose in those first appearances. And then the real goose comes back in September, takes the closer duties back. McCullers finishes with a very good line in 21 games, 35 innings and a 154 ERA plus. Particularly, he was good against righties, holding them to a 477 OPS.
It's kind of confusing, David, because you may be thinking of, maybe you're thinking of the movie Blade Runner 2043 starring Ryan Gosling.
That's true.
Wrong baby goose.
Yeah. I think Ana de Armas is in that movie. I watched that on a flight and I fell asleep halfway through and I woke up very confused, but highly recommend Denis Villeneuve's other non-Dune works.
Or at least the second half of the movie.
Yeah.
If you sleep through the first half. Meanwhile, back in 1986, Lance started as Gossage's setup man, then was moved into the starting rotation for a stretch to cover for some injuries, and then back to relief in August. He appeared in 70 games, which was 6th most in the National League that year, throwing 136 innings total, and he had a 10-10 record and a 132 ERA plus, so good season. In the StatHead search that we did, among pitchers with more than 110 innings, that was the 15th best ERA plus in the majors that year. Of those top 15, 10 were starters. 3 of them had 0 starts. Only Lance and Bud Black did both of those things. Now, as a starter, he was 1-4 with an ERA over 4, but as a reliever, he was 9-6 with a sparkling 2.13 ERA. And this is a story that we've told before, that pitchers who play well and are moved into different roles, it can impact their overall stat line because of the different preparation that it takes to be a starter, to be a middle reliever, or to be a closer. If Lance had only been a reliever, that season could have been even better, but it just wasn't what the team needed that year. 1986 was McCullers' most valuable season by WAR, a 3.3 WAR on Baseball Reference.
In 1987, the two Gooses, the baby and the original, shared the closer duties. Gossage saved 11 games, while McCullers led the Padres with 16 saves. He was a little bit less effective in 1987. Offense was up that year, and Lance gave up a lot more hits. His whip rose from 1.184 to 1.411, but in the rabbit ball year, he didn't give up a ton of home runs. He actually gave up fewer home runs than the previous season, only 11 in 123 innings. Prior to the 1988 season, Gossage was sent to the Cubs, which opened the door for Lance to have the closer role full-time. He ends up blowing a save on opening day. He only had 2 saves in April and 2 blown save losses, and he loses the closer spot to Mark Davis. Mark Davis would be good for the rest of the season and then win the 1989 Cy Young in the closer role the very next season. McCullers was much more effective in a setup role. He, on the season, pitched 97 innings and had a 2.49 ERA. But then after the season, the Padres packaged Lance, outfielder Stanley Jefferson, and pitcher Jimmy Jones into a deal for disgruntled slugger Jack Clark. And if we recall from the Jack Clark episode, Clark had a couple pretty good seasons, even though he dealt with some injuries in San Diego. He had some good offensive numbers there. But Lance, for his part, was excited. He said, before I was supposed to be the next goose, now I'll have the chance to be myself.
And he gets a fresh start in New York. The Yankees looked to McCullers as Dave Rigetti's setup man. At first, it was a rough transition for him entering the American League. His ERA rose 2 full runs to 4.57. He was still striking out a batter an inning, but was allowing more base runners. Opponents hit 255, up from 205 in 1988. And one article that we found at the Baseball Hall of Fame Card Corner website, which was dedicated to Lance's 1990 scorecard, kind of talked about this transition time and raised the specter of Rick Rushel, Richard Dotson, Eddie Whitson, and others who came to New York and couldn't replicate their previous success. I know there are many others that we've talked about through the years who get to the Yankees and flop. But unlike those other guys, McCullers at this point, he was still in his mid-20s. And the writer also points out that this 1990 scorecard had that funky motion that, David, you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, where he's not even looking at the plate as he's throwing the ball. He's got a twisted arm, maybe pointing to some of the mechanics and injury troubles that Lance would have documented well in this 1990 scorecard.
He's looking straight toward first base, I think, as he's throwing this, or into the ground. It's a very strange looking card and doesn't look like a... That can't be a strike.
It's very uncomfortable just to look at it. Just surprised that you even see it. I mean, it almost looks like he's trying to do a no-look pickoff move or something like that, but it's to home plate. You don't do that. That's not a good idea.
Lance started 1990 pitching sparingly for New York, but he wasn't bad in 11 games, 1-0 with a 3.6 ERA. And then the Yankees traded him and Clay Parker to the Tigers for a left-handed power-hitting catcher named Matt Noakes. Lance and his wife, Stacy, were disappointed in this move. An article said that Stacy was in tears at the prospect of leaving New York. They had created a home there and started to like it. But also, something disturbing happened with Lance shortly after the trade. He noticed that two of his fingers had turned ghostly white. Doctors found a blood clot in his throwing shoulder. He spent 5 days in the hospital while doctors tried to dissolve the blood clot. He's released, but later still felt numbness and felt like his hand had lost its pulse. So that required another hospital stay and surgery because now the clot had moved to his wrist. Pieces of that clot that had dissolved remained in his hand. Doctors had told him he should not pitch. They warned him that he could lose a finger or lose his hand. The timing of this was terrible too because Lance's contract was up after that season. He took the doctor's advice and he sat out of baseball for all of 1991. Something similar would happen later to David Cone in the 1990s. He had a blood clot that was removed surgically, and he was able to return and recover successfully and pitch successfully back in the majors. So later in 1991, McCullers has another surgery, and he gets the okay to throw again. He tries out for the Rangers in 1992 and is sent to start the season at AAA Oklahoma City. His ERA was over 5, but the Rangers still decided to give him another chance in the majors.
His return to the big leagues, however, lasted only 4 games. He got a win, pitching a scoreless inning in his return, but then after that, pitched only 4 more innings, giving up 3 earned runs, and he was released in early June. He signed with the Dodgers, playing at Albuquerque, and was effective, 44 innings there, a 1.84 ERA and 12 saves, but no innings in the majors. In 1993, he signed a AAA deal with Seattle and had a difficult season at Calgary. In 33 games, his ERA was over 5.5, and he felt a pain in his shoulder. It was a torn labrum. And at 29, Lance said it just wasn't in the cards anymore. So he retired, closing the book on Lance McCullers. 7 seasons in the major leagues, record of 28-31, with 39 saves in 306 games altogether. He had an ERA of 3.25, which was an ERA plus of 116. And in the love to face, he loved to face Glenn Davis, who went only 1-20, and Craig Reynolds only went 1-17 against him, but hated to face Candy Maldonado and Jose Cruz, who each went 6-14 off Lance with OBPs over 500. Also hated to face Andres Galarraga, who went 3-for-10, but all of those hits were home runs. It's the only player with more than 2 home runs off of Lance. How about in retirement?
Lance is still married to Stacy, who he was married to in 1990 when he played in New York. She had been a tennis player at LSU. They had 3 sons, Ryan, Austin, and then that guy with the same name, Lance McCullers Jr., who went on to some success in baseball, we've heard. Lance Sr. was the manager of his son's AAU team and helped coach his sons and coaching Lance Jr. into a nationally recognized pitcher. Lance Jr. was the Gatorade National Player of the Year in 2012 and was picked in the first round of 2012 in the Major League Draft by the Astros. So now that first round included supplemental picks, up to, I think, 60 picks in the first round. But like his dad, he was the 41st overall pick. But where Lance Sr. was in the second round, Lance Jr. was the 41st pick, but just in the first round. When he was interviewed, he was asked about his favorite team and his favorite player. And he said, the Astros, of course, are his favorite team. And his favorite player, he said, my father and Mariano Rivera. When asked about his dad's influence, he said, my success is due to my father, and without him, I couldn't have even imagined accomplishing half of what I have so far. He will continue helping me in the most important part of my career and will always be my mentor. I think it's interesting to note here that Lance Jr. signed a $2.5 million signing bonus. According to Baseball Reference, his dad made at most $650,000 in his final season with the Yankees. That was his highest salary, and the total listed on Baseball Reference was $1.5 million in MLB salaries for Lance Sr. As of 2022, Jr. has earned $30 million in Major League Baseball and achieved a few other accomplishments that his father was not able to reach due to injuries. Lance Jr. was a 2017 All-Star and pitched in and won multiple World Series. But right now, he's dealing with something that his father knows very well, which is recovering from injury. He hasn't appeared in Major League Baseball since 2022, when he had a really outstanding season for a portion of it. But since then, he's dealt with injuries, he's had multiple surgeries, and he's sat out all of 2023 and hopes to return in July fully healthy. But meanwhile, Lance Sr. is there to help, and he's seen his son reach the highest heights of Major League Baseball. And also, he was able to have something that I found very adorable happen to him on Father's Day in 2022, when Jose Altuve, Jose Urquidy, and Lance Jr.'s dads all jointly threw out the first pitch simultaneously to their sons on Father's Day at the Astros game. Lance was also there in 2022 later that season to celebrate the World Series victory on the field, and he's still there giving advice in recovery. Lance said, I just told him to make sure he takes it step by step and feels well before he starts trying to throw really hard. Make sure his arm is good and take his time.
Great wisdom from Dad. So, David, this episode started with a young up-and-coming pitcher who took over for Goose Gossage in a really important time and seemed to have a lot of potential. But now looking at him a little bit more, what should we think?
Lance McCullers Sr., his career didn't turn out how he expected. His innings declined year to year from that first season. And whether overuse led to any of that decline or just bad luck with that blood clot, Lance, at the beginning of his career, was very good and very effective early on. He had a couple very successful seasons, both in relief as well as some success as a starter, and could have been a really great career setup man if not for those injuries. Something that our friend Andy at High Heat Stats pointed out on his 88 Tops blog is that Lance McCullers has a pretty cool stat here. He's one of only 7 pitchers to make no starts, pitch at least 120 innings, and have a strikeout per inning. And he's the most recent pitcher to do that. The other guys on that include Dick Raddatz, Dick Selma, and then 2 guys who are in the 88 top set, Mark Eichhorn, who we discussed a few weeks ago, and Goose Gossage. So the baby Goose, the most recent guy to have 120 innings in relief and strike out over a batter per inning. And at that point, he was only 23 years old and finding his best role. And sadly, it wouldn't happen because of that trade and then that freak injury and those blood clots that would lead to the end of his career and the end of his effective run. But Lance is still keeping busy. In 2023, there's an MLB.com article that talks about that Christmas tree lot So when Lance's father, Lanny, passed away, the company was passed to Lance Sr. and his sister. The sister wanted to get out of the business. She lived in another part of Florida. She didn't have time to manage it. And so Lance took it over. He's reduced the size of the operation down from 20 plus lots to just one now. But he still does it every year. And it's been in the family since 1958, before Lance McCullers was even born. And his sons would work there when they were kids, selling premium Christmas trees, cleaning up the lot, loading and delivering Christmas trees to customers. And Lance Jr. still goes to the lot when he visits for Christmas and sees people who have worked there since he was a kid, people he's known all his life. And the lot's been in the family since the 50s. And so if you're in the Tampa area, you can go to HB Plant High School and get a Christmas tree from the Baby Goose. This is not a Taylor Swift episode, but the best Taylor Swift Christmas song is Christmas Tree Farm, which I assume is about Lance McCullers Sr.'s Christmas tree lot in Tampa, Florida.
It's got to be. It's a lovely story about the family business. As someone who's a junior myself, I just want to say it's a difficult thing to have father and son to have the same name and the pressure that can be there, especially nowadays with like who gets the social media handle first when a new one pops up. But it's great to see both senior and junior being known for their own accomplishments, not just for who their family is. And I like this thought of Lance keeping the family business and keeping that tradition alive and helping the people get ready for Christmas. So a great story. And thank you, David, for that today. If you're ready to do a little Christmas decorating, we'd love to help you with that. Visit our Instagram page. We're at 1988 Tops Podcast. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.